Blog Talk Radio. blood. I'm proud to say all my sins and guilty stains are completely washed away, and I'm forgiven, forgiven.
God, as we come before you this morning, we acknowledge you as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, and soon coming King. Lord God, this morning in the name of Jesus, sometimes I can't clearly get the picture. So this morning, I want to ask you to forgive me if I've moved or spoken or operated outside of the fullness of the picture. I'm asking you this morning to make the picture clear, make the picture illustrative, and make the picture so absolutely clear, bring such clarity that it cannot be misseen, is the only way I could put it. Let us see this thing. And Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you this morning with all of your dirty, vile, unclean, dastardly ways. I bind those ways of Satan this morning. I bind his airway spirits. I bind every spirit contrary to your Holy Spirit. And I destroy the seed, the fruit, the works, the acts, the deeds, the thoughts, the very intent and intentions of the spirit that opposes Christ, the Antichrist spirit. I bind that thing up this morning. I bind it off the mind. I bind it off the soul. I bind it off the will. I bind it off the intellect this morning. In chains and fetters of iron covered with a blood covering of the blood of Jesus. And God, I thank you. I truly thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tenline, good morning. Again, I'm not going to delay this teaching this morning. I probably, if I look raggedy, I've been up all night. This is one of them all-nighters. Trying to understand what God was showing me. And a lot of times, God doesn't show me in the beginning. He just give me some word, and I have to just keep searching, and then it begins to become clear. Okay? So, you know, I'm going to try Reggie or Jessica, if you're on here. I don't know. Michael, somebody's going to have to keep up with these scriptures because I have the scriptures, but the Holy Spirit was downloading so fast, I was not able to put all the scriptures in here. So, brothers and sisters, you're going to have to look these scriptures up. And I want you to bow your head right now. Ask the Lord to allow you to receive anything you're supposed to receive. Ask the Lord to put a door up and block you from receiving anything you're not supposed to receive, or that would, or if you feel like it wouldn't be good for you, okay? Because we're all at different levels, or if you feel like you don't understand, ask him to give you understanding. That's what I do. Even as I'm getting them, what God has given me. Sometimes I don't even understand till the very end. But remember, patience, the thing that most of us don't want to have to deal with, patience is a virtue. Patience is a virtue from God. So I might not be able to post, but I really need, Reggie, if you hear me, you text on here that you hear me. I need these scriptures in here. Okay. I need these scriptures in here as I'm going along so that they'll be accessible. Because this message that I have, really, I could feel it. I could feel it working on the inside of me. Okay, thank you, Michael, Pastor Michael. I could feel it. I could feel the word of God moving inside of me. Nothing like weird. Just, you know how you could feel in your spirit and in your inner man? I could feel the word, this word right here. So here we go. This is the beginning of it. Jesus, again, wants you and me to come out of the world. The Holy Spirit said, Jesus wants you to come out of the world so that you may, and then he said can, come into God himself again and live. So now, that part I understood because I've been preaching the message of reconnect to Jesus and connect to God. You know, Jesus takes us to God. So then I wondered why the Holy Spirit said, Jesus wants you to come out of the world. Now I know that. So that you may. And so I said, why would the Holy Spirit put may and can in the same sentence? So may, so that you may, expresses the possibility that there's a real possibility for you to do this. And can expresses be able to. So then when I went back, typed it up, Jesus wants you to come out of the world so that you may have, you have the possibility and you can be able to come into God himself and live. So we could say it this way. Jesus wants you and I to come out of the world so that we may, because we have this possibility, and we are able to come into God himself again, and live. Well, you know, I was going to start teaching, and I have been. I don't know if you picked up on it, but I've been teaching about the Zoe life of God. All right? Just like I said, I was going to a couple months ago, and then God took me on this excursion. So then I said, okay, God, if it's a possibility that we can, I mean, if it's possible, we may, and we're able to, what is blocking us? What is keeping us from possessing this right now? So then the Holy Spirit said, go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 in the Authorized King James Version of the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I said, okay. So then I thought, I better read this whole thing because I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to mess this up. And I'm going to show you why in a few seconds. Ephesians 4 and 30 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended? First, into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So I read the whole thing. I got the message. But I only had part of it there because God was doing something. And you're going to see. Then the Lord said, I want you to go to the book of Exodus. And I want you to read Exodus 6. And then I want you to read something in the book of Job. I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. He said, after you get done with Exodus, I want you to go to Job chapter 7, verse 11. It was with that still small voice. You know that still small voice that God talked to you on the inside of you with. That's why I know he's going to do something. That's why I know this is important. So I went to Exodus. I read Exodus chapter 6, verse 9. I'm going to tie this all together for you. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. So then I said, now I better read this whole 6 so I can get this understanding, because right now, it wasn't coming together for me, brothers and sisters. So I read Exodus chapter 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. So I knew here God was getting ready to identify himself to me as who was giving this message. He said, I am the Lord. But I didn't know which one of which part of his character he was getting ready to reveal. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now underscore this in your Bible. And I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. God was identifying himself as himself, about to manifest himself as the giver of this word, okay? And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. Look here. But they hearken not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. You know, Moses was always full of excuses. But he was obedient after being full of excuses. Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake again unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And then it goes on to give the genealogy of these children of Israel, all the way down to verse 28. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. Again, and Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Then I went on back over there, like he said, to Job chapter 7, verse 11. Therefore, Job chapter 7, verse 11. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. Look, I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. That's what Job said. I'm going to speak in the anguish of my spirit. So I said, okay, God is trying to show me something here. And I got to get it. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. I got to get this because God said that in the beginning, Jesus wants, I was saying myself, Jesus wants me to come out of the world so that I can, so that I may, meaning I have the possibility to come further out of the world, and I'm able to do it. And I got to do it so that I can come more into God and I can live. I can live, I can live, I can live. And by me not doing it right now, God does not want me to grieve his Holy Spirit by not living in him, by not living in his fullness, by not living his Zoe life. By not living that, I'm actually causing grief to his Holy Spirit because there's more of him for me. There's more of him for me. And in this spiritual warfare that Job was going through, Job said, I speak in the anguish of my spirit, and I'm complaining in the bitterness of my soul. So I said, okay, let's read Job chapter 7 so I can begin to get this thing that God is identifying himself as, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I'm the Lord, Almighty God. I'm the Lord, Jehovah. Job chapter 7. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I'm full of tossing to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. My eyes shall no more see good. The eye of him that has seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanish away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint. Then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifies me through visions, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Brothers and sisters, the scripture said, they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Job said, I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. Anguish. I looked it up in the Webster's dictionary. Anguish is extreme distress of body, mind, or spirit. This is how the Webster's defined it. Excruciating pain or suffering of soul. Excessive grief, remorse, despair. Narrowness, confusion of mind, twisted with pain, breathing. It says that that's the Old Testament derivative. Straightened press. In the New Testament, the ellipsis, oppressing together, hence affliction, tribulation, narrowness of place, extreme affliction, a holding together, hence distress, is the fundamental idea of anguish of spirit. It's being compressed in a narrow place or pain through physical or mental torture. It's the same in the Bible, it's used physical agony of childbirth. Jeremiah 4:31, 6:24, 49:24, 50:43, John 16:21. Distress, anguish of the soul as the result of sin and wickedness. Job 15:24. Proverbs 1:27, Romans 2:9. Anguish of spirit through the cruel bondage of slavery, Exodus 6:9, and oppression, Assyrian oppression, Isaiah 8:22. Anguish of soul, the anxiety and pain of Christian love because of the sins of fellow disciples. 2 Corinthians 2:4. I realize that I have experienced this and didn't know how to express it because I didn't know what was happening. You see, there's a level of compassion. There's a level in Christ where You discern the anguish. You discern the pain. You discern the oppression so deeply of the people that come around you, brothers and sisters. That anguish of spirit here cannot be defined other than I could try to tell you it's a discerning, it's a knowing the heart, it's knowing the very depth of another person's misery and another person's joy and goodness. Either way, it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. The best I could try to identify. But I didn't have a chance. So in Exodus 6 and 9, when Moses spoke to the children of Israel, they couldn't even take heed to what Moses was saying because of the anguish of their own. Sometimes when the Bible says spirit, you don't, you have to dig deeper to see if it's saying meaning soul or spirit, because sometimes in the Bible they're written interchangeably. So the human spirit is the part of our makeup that a lot of us aren't aware of how it works. A lot of us aren't aware of what our soul takes in and how God processes stuff and how the soul be trying to have more influence over the spirit, and the body will join up with the soul, and brothers and sisters, it will cause anguish in your spirit. But listen, the part that we human beings give the least amount of attention to is that part of us that is most desired by the Lord. And at the same time, it's that part of us that is most sought after by the demonic world. You see, God shows me, and I bet he shows a lot of you too. He has to. I know he does. God is showing us that this world is full of people who are hurt and wounded in their soul and in their bodies. God is showing us that most people seek revenge before they seek healing. It is in a person's soul where they store up all their hurts. Their soul becomes the dumping ground for every wrong emotion. Did you hear me? The soul becomes the dumping ground for every wrong emotion, such as anger, hate, envy, bitterness, domination by others, grief through loss, and the ugliness and the horror of serious illness. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The word sustain means to maintain, to nourish, to supply necessities, or to give support. The reason the Lord gave me this message this morning is to give you some support for the healing of your emotions and your soul. You see, I had to look back up there to find out what was happening in Exodus. The Lord had given Moses a word for the people, but they couldn't receive the word because of the hurts and the cruel bondage within their soul. The same way that God wants to heal your body, sometimes he can't heal your body because your soul hasn't been restored to him, because your soul hasn't been healed. I want to tell you something this morning. You must not allow the bitterness, the hurt in your spirit to destroy your life through any type of bitterness that causes anguish in your spirit. It ain't nothing personal either. It's a ploy of the devil. It's one of his chief tactics. Let me show you. This world we live in is full of murderers, it's full of abuse, and it's full of revenge because of people being hurt. And then they suppress that pain. They suppress it. And then in suppressing it, it's causing you to hold on to those things. But they're going to manifest through your emotions anyway. They're going to manifest through your emotions. And I used to not understand it. I can't say that I understand it now, but I can say I understand it better now than I did even a couple of years ago. Why, brothers and sisters, listen. Holding on to that pain can very well be the source of some of your troubles. You got to understand, demons are like buzzards. I'm in the country, I see buzzards. Buzzards hover over hurt creatures who are ready. They've been wounded. Buzzards hover over them, and they're ready to pounce and eat their flesh. Demons are like those buzzards. They feed on the hurts that we store up in our souls. Demons toy with our rotten emotions. And demons drag unclean memories into your mind to keep you agitated all the time. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 and 2, A, therefore having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Open your hearts to us. Paul was not just talking. He was talking the truth. You see, brothers and sisters, Job said, I'm going to speak through that pain, through it. The children of Israel couldn't even get properly what Moses had for them to get because anguish of spirit was there to hinder them. You got to give your emotional hurt. You got to give your bitterness. You got to give your anguish over to the Lord for healing. Psalm 109:22. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. All of us go through hurts. And some days it's harder to recover because the hurts are caused by somebody we love. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus was wounded for him. He also went on to prophesy that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God wants your spirit, your soul, and your body cleansed, delivered, made whole, regenerated, restored back, so that you can be restored back into himself. That's what 2 Corinthians 7:1-2 tells us. Whenever something overcomes you, by that thing, you become enslaved. And some of you are suffering with anguish of spirit. Your spirit, your soul, and your body is the part of you that God wants healed, restored, unified, and brought back to himself. That's why he said you can and you may, or you may and you can. It's possible. Are you able? Are you able? Or better yet, are you willing and able? You see, in the beginning, Adam and Eve were not created for this type of anguish. They were not created with the evil nature we see displayed in all of mankind today. At the end of the sixth day of creation, the Bible says God took pleasure in all that he had made, and God pronounced it very good. And this included Adam and Eve, and this included the nature and the character of the heart that he had placed within them. But an evil heart, a bitter heart, an anguished person, cannot possibly be termed very good. At the moment, Adam and Eve were a blank slate. They might have had a little pull toward the self, but not with this strong, self-centered, touchy, and offensive heart that is communicated through contact with the world. And we enter into it just by being born. Following Adam and Eve's creation, God placed them in Eden and instructed them on their responsibilities. But please understand something. Get this morning. God then purposefully allowed them to be exposed to and tested by Satan, who definitely had a different set of beliefs, a different set of attitudes, a different set of purposes, and a different character than God. Without any interference from God, brothers and sisters, Adam and Eve freely made the choice to subject themselves to the evil influence of that evil spirit manifested in the form of a serpent. And that event initiated the corruption of man's heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, evil communications corrupt good manners. In comparing our contact with Satan to Adam and Eve, a very, very sobering aspect is that God shows that they were fully aware of Satan when he communicated with them. Why? Because we understand that a spirit being can communicate with a human being by transferring thoughts. And the person might never know it. The person would assume and assumes that the thoughts are being completely generated within his or herself. The Bible says that following Adam and Eve's encounter with the evil one, that the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Kate's brothers and sisters, that an immediate change took place. An immediate change in their attitudes, in their perspectives. It also implies a change of character from the way God had created them, as they had indeed willingly sinned and thus reinforced the whole degenerative process. This began not only their personal corruption, but also this present evil world. Paul calls it that in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. All it took was one contact with, one communication from, and one submission to that very evil source to affect a profound change from what they had been. The process did not stop with them. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 confirms that, brothers and sisters. Just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin, Adam and Eve, passed on the corrupt products of their encounter with Satan to their children and to each one of us in turn, willfully sinning as our first ancestors did. When you were born, when I was born, we were born innocent of any sin of our own. We entered into a 6,000-year-old ready-made world that is permeated with the spirit of Satan and his demons, as well as with the evil cultures that they generated through a thoroughly deceived mankind. In consequence, unbeknownst to us, we face a double-barreled challenge to our innocence from demons as well as from the world. Come out of the world. Jesus wants you to come out of the world so that you, hallelujah, because of Jesus, because of the finished work of the cross, so that you can come into him as an act of your will, as he came into you as an act of your willingly asking him to come in, so that he can bring you to God himself and you can live. I'm not through with this. I'm far from through with it. But my time is winding up. What I would like for you to do is grab your paper towel. I'm going to deal with, I'll finish it tomorrow. But I'm going to command out of you the anguish in your soul. I'm going to command the anguish to come out of your heart. Then you will be able to make your own decisions without being influenced by Satan, by his demons, by the bitterness of your life experience from the womb till now. Till now. Brothers and sisters, wherever you are, right now, out of your own mouth, you have to do it. See, you couldn't do it until God revealed it to you. God revealed this message. That's why I told you, I didn't understand it, but I had to wait till God revealed to me who was giving me these instructions. And I'm going to finish them tomorrow. What I'm going to do is Saturday evening, I'll let you know what time, I'm going to do a healing on your emotions, because this led up to that. God wants your emotions healed. God wants your emotions delivered. God doesn't want you. He doesn't desire, it is not his plan for you. He knows that you have difficulty heeding him, following him. You have difficulty, even as Job said, I'm going to speak through the anguish. And that's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to speak and cry out to God through the anguish of your own soul, through the pain, through the bitterness. You cry out through it. God has opened up. He's opened up a place. You already have it, where he can hear your cry. He can understand your pain. Your pain is grieving his Holy Spirit. The anguish in your soul is grieving his Holy Spirit in you. You see, the God, by his Holy Spirit, came into you, is indwelling you. It can see all that stuff. It knows all that stuff. And this morning, he wants that anguish healed. He wants to heal. But he wants the spirits operating behind it, causing you that cruel bondage cast out. Wherever you are. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're on your job, just think it. Just think it. Just think it. Just think it. I declare this morning. I declare this morning. Father, I have anguish in my soul. I'm asking you, deliver me from those spirits that are operating behind and through and by way of the anguish in my soul. You got to do it with your own mouth. Take a moment right now. You know when you've been angry. You know. Those things that you're suppressing and that you have suppressed. You know. Ain't nobody here to flatter you this morning. I'm here to tell you the truth. God wants to deliver you from the anguish that is in your soul. I defined it to you. Go back and read it. Right now, as an act of your will, give it to God. Speak it out of your mouth. Remember, you changed the atmosphere around you yesterday. You changed the atmosphere around you yesterday. You spoke it out. And God needed it spoken out and cleared so that today he could deliver you in a fresh atmosphere. Speak it out. The things, the anguish. Hey, and guess what? It ain't nothing new. All the children of Israel had it. God said so. Job had it. God says so in his word. I'm not finished with this. But this morning, God does not want you dependent upon anybody but himself. I'm just a messenger. You can take heed. You can believe it. I have no agenda. I gave you the word. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, as I am your servant, I bind up all the bitterness, all the anguish repressed in the souls of these people this morning. All of it that has caused them oppression because of the anguish in their soul. Those things that are hidden, I bind them up. I renounce them. And I command them to go. The difference, Brian, brothers and sisters, I just want you to breathe them out. Breathe them out. Breathe them out. Just breathe them out. Breathe them out. Breathe them out. Breathe them out. Just breathe them out. I command all the anguish to be bound. Anguish is spiritual, brothers and sisters, not spirits. There's a difference. There is no spirit of anguish because anguish is comprised of a cluster of demons. There is no way that I could say one thing come out. Because each person, separately and independently, has their own cluster of anguish. Anguish, I command you to separate yourself. I forbid you to draw strength from any other spirit in that body. I forbid you to draw strength from airway spirit. I forbid you to draw strength from any transference of spirits. I forbid you to link up and draw strength from any familiar spirits. I break your ability to drain strength. I break your ability to run captivity through the mind. Anguish, I cover every area where you're located with the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus pushes you out of that body right now. The blood prevail. The blood of Jesus prevail and it pushes you out of the mind. The blood of Jesus prevail and it pushes you out of the will. The blood of Jesus prevails and it pushes you out of the intellect. The blood of Jesus prevails, and it pushes you out of the emotions. Get out and take all of your triggering mechanism. Take all of your remote activity. Take all of your pain and take all of your bitterness. Take all of your lies as I bind them to you with chains and fetters of iron covered with a blood covering of the blood of Jesus. Anguish. I sprinkle and apply the blood of Jesus to your roots. And in the name of Jesus, I command every seed from every fruit right now to die and be covered with the blood covering of the blood of Jesus. I break your ability and I destroy your power through disobedience and sin. And I command you, all of you, dissipate and go. Father God, I ask you for angelic assistance. Those stubborn areas of anguish, I ask you, God, that your angels pull them up and out. Thank you, God, you're doing it. The very roots are coming out. God, I bind all witchcraft intent, all witchcraft projection of anguish sent to the soul of any person under the sound of this ministry this morning. And God, send the fire and burn the witchcraft out. Burn the roots and the seed of this anguish out. And Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, set these people free. Loose them from anguish and all of its demonic hosts. Loose them this morning. Loose them this morning. Breathe them out. Breathe them out. Breathe them out. Father God, many of them have been taken captive by illusions and delusions. Pictures. Thank you, God. Thank you. Pictures that are false, that have been implanted, implants of anguish, generations of implants of anguish. Loose their souls this morning, Father God. Let your blood speak, let your blood prevail, and let your fire consume. And we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you thank you, honor. Thank you this morning for destroying anguish of soul. Thank you. Thank you. Breathe it out. Just breathe it out. God is doing it. Some of you beginning to feel, I don't want to tell you what you're beginning to feel. You let me know later. Get delivered from anguish. And then, now, Lord God, heal. I loose your power to heal every area that anguish had been contained in, every area that the blood of Jesus touched. Heal. Heal. Heal your people this morning from the damage of anguish. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you what you're doing. I thank you. I thank you this morning. I give you praise. I give you glory. And I give you honor. And I thank you. I thank you. You're a great God. You're a good God. And everything you ever created is good. Restore that goodness. Restore it. Restore. Now, restore. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for restoration. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, for favor. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for healing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I will see you. You get an email from me. If you have ever given me an offering and I don't have your email address, would you text it to 843-217-2463? Please text me your email address. We're sending something out in the mail. I would really like to make sure you get it. PayPal doesn't give me your email address. Good morning. Be blessed. You are blessed. Thank you.